Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel. Chaplain Sean Denzer is preaching a series of sermons through the Catechism for the first 3 weeks of Advent. Today we begin with the Ten Commandments. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Exodus, the 20th chapter. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. Now when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet in the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled, and they stood far off and said to Moses, You speak to us and we'll listen, but do not let God speak to us, lest we die. Moses said to the people, Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin. The people stood far off, but Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's a Lutheran custom at various times in the year to preach on the Catechism, the basics of Christian instruction, especially during the penitential seasons of Advent and Lent. So for the next 3 weeks, excepting on Mondays when we're working through Revelation, we will be preaching and hearing about the Ten Commandments, about the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, Baptism, Confession, and the Office of the Keys, and the Sacrament of the Altar. And you will get the most benefit out of this if you also take Martin Luther's Small Catechism and consider it and read it each day as we consider that portion of the Catechism. Everyone can find it at catechism.cph.org. The Ten Commandments come first, because the law of God is the expression of the will of God. It was written into creation. It still shows its order despite creation's fall into sin. St. Paul says in Romans that the law is written into the hearts of mankind. Our consciences can be dulled, of course, but they still work. God's law resonates with them. The commandments make great sense to us, at the very least. But they also, as a result, prick our consciences and even make us angry because they expose all of the places that we are out of step with it. The law is the best starting point, then, because it is the common ground. God created all of us. His reflection is all around us in the design of His creation, and what this order of the commandments exposes about us is also common among us humans, that we are sinners, enemies of God. Now, the Ten Commandments are our Christian shorthand. They're our pedagogical tool. They come from the Bible directly, as we heard, slightly abbreviated, from Exodus 20 today. The commandments were given by God to Moses on Mount Sinai. They came in those two stone tablets that were inscribed by God Himself, Exodus says. But before that, they were spoken out loud by God with His voice to the whole people of Israel, as we just heard. And they are called the Ten Words elsewhere in Deuteronomy, But they were not actually numbered in the text of the Bible, which is why some churches number them differently than we have. In particular, there is that opening word from God, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Now that word is no commandment at all, not for people, but rather it is a promise that reveals God's gracious character as a Savior. And it's also a very particular promise to a particular people, those descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel, who came out of Egypt. Not everything in Exodus pertains to Christians as a result, especially those details in the third commandment, the observance of the Sabbath day and all of the ceremonies of the tabernacle, which were for the people of Israel up until the coming of Christ, the true Savior. But the commandments remain a fitting summary of what God's law is, His expectation for godly human life in keeping with His character and His good design for the world. And that's why we as Christians take the time to learn them. The two tablets of the law are best understood as two focuses that we see in those commandments. Commandments 1 to 3, and even that promise beforehand, are about life toward God. And commandments 4 through 10 are about our life toward our neighbor. And their ordering is not arbitrary. The commandments are not arbitrary. The first commandment says that there is a God. He's the creator. That means that other idols, whether they're carved or just imagined, are dangerous imitations. The second says that God has a name by which He can be known and by which He may be addressed. And the third commandment says that He speaks and He interacts with us. He wants to be known by us. As the Lord said elsewhere to Moses in Exodus 31, "Keep my Sabbaths, so that you will know that I am the one who sanctifies you." This means that the primary act of holiness, of religion, of relationship to God, is not to be our doing, but it is His doing. He speaks to us. Thus His word and His truth is to be held in highest honor. Now, commandment number 4 is the hinge between God and our neighbors. That is that God has created order and He gives authority to be exercised here on earth. The primary authority is parents with their children, fathers from whom God the Father, all fatherhood, is named. And God exercises His authority in parents' work. All authority, whether it's in the home, whether it's in the church, or whether it's in the civil realm, government, all of this authority is designed for the benefit not of those who have the authority, but for those who are under their authority, that they would benefit by it. Now here already, we certainly begin to see how this commandment is often broken in our world. The authority of the fourth guards life under the fifth commandment, the body. And what is our neighbor but all of the bodies next to us? God is the author of our life. He gives us body and life. And that means that our bodies and our lives are not to be taken by others. And God has not made us to be a body by ourselves, living alone. He's made us with neighbors. Most of all, He has made us male and female, so that husband and wife may be faithful to one another and that their bodies may procreate. All of that governed by the sixth commandment. The Lord is also not against material or property. He made the world and everything in it. And it is to be protected, the seventh commandment. And just as He has a name, He's given us a name also, a reputation to be protected. He is the truth. We are also to speak the truth. That's keeping the eighth commandment. Lastly, commandments 9 and 10, which are similar and might even be lumped together, They turn us back toward the first commandment, fearing and trusting in God, because we are to be content, because God has made us and He still takes care of us. That means we're not to second-guess Him. But of course, that's exactly what Eve did when she ate and desired the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden. And that's what coveting means. It means to want for myself what God has not given to me. There you have it. These 10 commandments are God's perfect design, His unchangeable will, and what is obviously good for mankind here in this life. Now, who would not love to live in a world where these 10 commandments were obeyed and taken for granted, where no one cheated and no one would have to be worried about cheating? No one ever harmed you or wanted to harm you. No one ever lied to you. No one ever second-guessed you. Well, who can say honestly that we live in a world like that? We clearly do not. And the Israelites recognized something immediately when they heard these commandments, that these commandments were not all that good news for them. They saw God's fiery power there on Mount Sinai, to be sure, but the words are what troubled them most. What did they say? They heard a God describing perfection that did not describe them. And they concluded, if God is going to keep talking to us with these kinds of words, with the law and all of its good demands, well, then God is going to kill us because we don't measure up. God said to Moses elsewhere, by the way, they were absolutely right to say that. Now, that's surprising because effectively they told God to shut up. They were already breaking His commandments and sinning against Him. But their conclusion was nevertheless correct about what it meant for them in the end. But listen to what Moses says to them from God. Fear not. God has come to test you, and it is essential that we understand what kind of test these Ten Commandments are. No, they are not a multiple-choice test where you get to choose the commandments that you like. They are not a matching test to see how well they describe you. They're not pass or fail where you can round up. They certainly are not an essay test, you know, the kind where you can write a lot of BS and hope that the teacher isn't reading it very carefully. No, but there is another kind of test. The doctor's test, the diagnosis, the test that looks not for how well you have done, but that looks to find what is wrong, what is the problem with you. You have cancer. Your case is terminal. You will surely die. The law of God is good. It shows the righteous way to live. Even we can see that. But it exposes everything that is sinful, bad in us, that we are sinful in deed, in word, in thought, and as the Scriptures reveal to us, even in our desires right from conception. And this is why most people react to God, to His church, to His word, just like Israel did. They tell God to shut up. They tell anyone to shut up if they're going to show them to be in the wrong. But while the doctor's test, just like these commandments and the good works that they expect, cannot save you, it is necessary to expose what the problem is. Because then a good doctor can come and bring the thing that does save. The cure. And the cure for sinners is Christ Jesus, who forgives sins, who saves us from the bondage of sins, who answers our failings by His blood, all of which we call the gospel. This is what Christianity preaches, which no one else does. The very good news for those who have first come to see by the Ten Commandments, by the law of God, how exposed they really are in such a mangled and disordered world as we live in. More on the commandments tomorrow. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for the Reverend Jonathan and Deaconess Cheryl Naumann, who serve the Lord in the Dominican Republic. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.